She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at Chai FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, a very good morning. How are you?
And to you. Good morning. I do have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It is never too early to spring clean.
No. Please tell me you're not one of those.
Spring is continuous.
The cleaning is continuous, is what you mean.
No, you must always speak.
Do you only feel in control if things are clean and tidied?
Yes. Otherwise it messes with my feng shui.
That's the thing they usually say, like the state of the space you're in reflects the state of your mind.
It's a true story.
Nah, rubbish.
Oh, wow.
I can tell you, I can work in, like a room that needs to be neat needs to be neat.
Yes.
So you know what? Living rooms, dining rooms, those areas must be properly neat. Those rooms have got to be neat.
Okay, those must be in order.
Yes, because otherwise that does mess with your brain. But my desk does not need to be neat at all. Definitely not.
Well, that maybe reflects the multiple thought streams that you're having. All at the same time.
Slash chaos.
Yes.
Right, okay, I get
slash
it.
Slash gathering.
Yes, exactly, right. All right, 11 minutes past the hour of 8, we have to talk about the marketing event of the weekend. And no, I'm not talking about the cricket. Zanati, sorry, but we are talking about...
I did see a lot of people in pink yesterday.
Yeah, lots of pink happening. I even wore pink yesterday, but I didn't realize I did it. I didn't, anyway, for no reason.
I have to tell you though, I know we're quickly diverging, but I was driving through like that Ilovo area at exactly when the cricket was ending, and I'm like looking at this. Like everyone was in pink.
It's stunning.
It was actually amazing. I mean, some guys, not so much their thing, but I was very impressed.
Yeah, it is impressive. All right, let's talk about Cape Town. Let's talk about the weekend that was in Cape Town. What an event. Roger Federer. I mean, wow.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean, and also what it did, I think, for brand Cape Town and brand South Africa, because it was such a feel good event. It's everywhere. It's on every single news channel. Mm. It's on every single Twitter feed, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube videos.
I mean, at some point it was trending more than Santon was, wasn't it?
Well, there was Santon.
What's the note?
No, I just remembered that there was Santon also.
Anyway.
All right, Santon.
Anyway.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're a better person than Zanati is. She's hysterical, Zanati. What's wrong, Zanati?
She's literally crying in the corner.
All right, can we get back to Cape Town?
Right,
don't worry about Santon.
Moving on
another time.
All right, so this Match in Africa event, which was started by Federer's Foundation. It was just phenomenal. First of all, the fact that in one stadium, in little old Cape Town, you've got Federer, you've got Nadal, you've got Bill Gates, and you've got Trevor Noah. And who knew Bill Gates or Trevor Noah, that either of them could play?
No,
a
you know what?
Game
I could see.
Tennis.
I could definitely see Bill Gates playing because as a child, I could see him in his white tackies, you know, those tennis shoes, and with his spindly legs and very wide white shorts, socks pulled up to his knees. Yes, I could definitely see him playing tennis.
Yeah, but I mean,
Trevor Noah, I didn't know.
No, I actually think apparently Trevor had a bit of training, a bit of coaching for the actual match. Because, I mean, it has been in play for a while. And I don't know if you know how it came about, but Trevor Noah actually, so obviously Richard, they've been planning this, Federer has been planning this for his foundation, which supports early childhood education in 6 Southern African countries. So it was called Match in Africa 6, because it's including South Africa, they actually, in Zambia, etc. And they look to raise again $1 million and raised 3.5, and they look to break the world record of attendance at a tennis match, and got to a sellout crowd of 51,954 people, which is mammoth. I mean, the stadium could have actually taken more, but if you see the pictures of the stadium, you can see that those bottom rungs were not actually full. They didn't sell those tickets because it was a raised actual platform. So they wouldn't have been able to see. Although there was, did you see the little elite box around the actual?
No.
Did you miss the elite box?
I didn't. You know, I didn't actually watch much of it at all, because it was taking place on Shabbat, and then afterwards, I don't know. I just didn't go back to.
There's videos of every single
moment. I know, it's absolutely everywhere. There's nothing. You don't need to miss a thing.
So yeah, so the sponsors were Mon Chardon and Rolex, and they all had, there was like a, almost like a barrier box of like four sort of layers around the actual court. And then there was another layer of like nothing. And then there was the other, the stadium. And in there were the likes of Siya Kolisi, and that's where Trevor Noah sat. That's where Bill Gates sat.
Nice.
John Smith. Like, so the whole sort of South African celebrity kind of peeps, right, with their with their sponsors. And what was so amazing is that you could just see like the, how, what good guys they all are. I mean, if you look at Nadal, and also I think because they normally play so competitively, I mean globally these are the best players that you can get. They've matched up like over 40 times. I think Nadal actually has a lead, 24-16. And of all the Grand Slams, Federer's got one over on Nadal with, I think it's 20-19.
Does anybody care about the outcome?
No.
The actual game?
No, I don't think anyone
cares. It's like going to watch the Rugby Sevens. You don't care who wins, you just want to drink. I mean, not, this wasn't, I'm assuming, in Cape Town, but, yeah.
But you know what also, I mean, it shows that.
Because
the
that's
power.
Not fun, sorry, I was just, yeah. You know, people were talking, you know, because we couldn't watch it, it was a Shabbat, people were talking to, like, you know, Friday night, missing it, and then Saturday morning, again, people were talking about it, but nobody actually asked who won, because I don't think anyone cares. It was the event. It wasn't who won.
Absolutely. And I mean, and the whole point of the event is that celebrities use their status to do good in the world. And it's become very, very popular. I mean, I think just Brad Pitt alone showing you, I mean, they all have to stand up for something. They have to show that they're bigger than just their careers or their celebrity status. So, I mean, for Rafael Nadal, they apparently very good friends, Federer and Nadal. And you can see by the way they interact, and if you saw the closing, the sort of the last shot, the match point, where Nadal ended up actually losing his tennis racket, not on purpose, under the net, and then he jumped over and gave Federer a huge hug, which was really, really sort of
amazing.
Really endearing.
And of course this does so much for the cause.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when you get the likes, I mean, of Bill Gates. And I mean, again, Trevor Noah is not one, I mean, he always talks about his South African sort of childhood where it wasn't the most privileged, but who knew he could play tennis? But that's why I think he definitely
had it.
And there was one time where he actually scrimped at the umpire, because the umpire was, I think he was French, and he was going out. And he's like, he goes, you know, he goes, just can you put a bit of effort into it? And he goes, can you shout out properly? Because he goes, I want you to treat me like I'm a professional.
I absolutely enjoyed that every time he got a point, he had like this celebratory dance.
Exactly.
Oh, that's lovely.
Like, you know, like those soccer players who run around the field. I think he was so surprised that he was actually going to get a point from anyone.
Oh, that is so fun.
And he ran around the field like he just won like the 9-second Olympic
champion. Gimple says, brilliant description of Bill Gates. Playing tennis, but I can also see him wearing a big white cricket hat too on the court.
I could, hey?
Yeah,
maybe he'll bring
that
him for the next cricket match.
Or an ill-fitting cap that he got as a promotion.
Listen, he's never going to really be cool.
No.
I mean, he can have a lot of money.
He can. Yes.
And I mean, talk about celeb status and giving charity. I mean, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have given away, I think they're getting to a point where they want to give away like over 77% of their wealth or something like that. They are one of the most charitable Americans, like in known history,
really,
where they
really
are giving
amazing.
Away the majority of their wealth, in addition to Bloomberg, in addition to Buffett. So they're leaving nothing for the children, only a few billion. That's outrageous.
Yeah, it seems to be. It seems to be a thing. Dina Diamond joining us in the studio, and we are talking about the charity event that took place in Cape Town over the weekend. Celebrities and charities. It's obviously their brand is very, very, very powerful. Not all of them. Of course, I would imagine most people give money to one cause or another, but not all of them get behind a charity the way certain celebrities do.
Absolutely. I mean, so a lot of celebrities write checks, obviously, to give to charities. And some you'd even really never know about. Like, I mean, George Michael, only when he died, they realized how much money he'd given to Childline.
Have they buried him yet?
I don't think you can ever bury George
No,
Michael.
Because
really?
Because it took like months before it was one of those like that they just never really got round to it.
Tiberian Gorge.
I'm not even joking. Zanetti, you search that up because they haven't.
I'll be honest, Dina's looking at me.
Dina's looking at me like, Howard, you absolutely lost your mind. Just Google the date he died and the date of his funeral, and you'll be shocked. You'll be absolutely
really?
Shocked. Yeah.
Did he lie in state?
But for years. No, maybe not years. Okay. Maybe I'm exaggerating that ever so slightly.
Okay, well, I'll get back to you. All right, but I do know that they only realized how much money he'd given to Childline when he actually passed away. Because his condition was that it was anonymous.
Amazing.
Which is amazing. And then you've also got, like, there's a huge, like, sort of collaboration with celebs on giving away money and stuff. Mm. So if you look at, like, Elton John, like, obviously he's got an AIDS foundation. Mm. So he gets all his buddies to, like, kind of give to those foundations. Right. And then you've got the Red Cross that people give to, PETA, UNICEF, Stand Up to Cancer, Make-A-Wish Foundation. So those are, like, the top celebrity ones. But there's also a lot in education. There's a lot in childcare, in sort of women and children rights and stuff like that. But if you look at the power of what happened this weekend, right, with Nadal and Federer and Bill Gates, and again, so yes, they easily could have written a check.
Of course.
I mean, for Gates, he literally could have just taken out what was in his pocket and given that more. But it was the whole point of engaging people and bringing people to that cause and making people be part of it. And also there was a real feel-good factor that they all talked about in the stadium in terms of when they were speaking and there were acrobats and there was fireworks and there was, like, shooting cannons and stuff like that.
Did they each get a chance to speak, each of the four?
So they all got interviewed.
Ah, okay.
So, and they all got asked about sort of what this means to them and stuff. But obviously Nadal and Federer, because they were the main attraction, sort of took the spotlight. But with that being said, Trevor Noah being home in his home country is a statement.
Yes, it's a huge thing, absolutely.
But it's a statement to say, you know, like, I may have left the country, I may be making millions of dollars, but I still care about the people of this country.
Well, I would imagine that he will be somebody at some point who we are going to see will create a foundation. We'll continue along these lines.
Absolutely.
To better the lives of fellow South Africans. I would be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people love Trevor Noah. Love it. I mean, if you think about it, it's mammoth. That
his story
South African
is
little
just
homegrown
the most
boy,
unbelievable story.
Like, is now one of the most loved TV personalities in the US. It's a crazy,
it is crazy
thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
about crazy so going back to George Michael.
look how she eated that. So seamlessly.
How did you see that? A real, real professional.
You are a professional.
So he died in December in 2016 and he got buried in March 2017.
Mm. Okay, he was buried the next year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't make this stuff up. I know it sounds like I do.
But why? No, now I'm fascinated. Now I need to know more.
3 months. I mean, he died in, look, forget that it was December, March, but you can just say he died in 2016 and was buried in 2017. And that wouldn't be a lie.
So true.
That's a crazy story, huh?
It's actually really not. It's actually quite an interesting one.
Yep, so there you have it. Yeah, the things that you learn on this radio show. Yes, quite incredible. Lots. So I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. What I also find interesting is, and if I view my own reaction to certain celebrities who make a big fuss
grandstand
around charities.
It's disingenuous.
Yeah, but we somehow know. And yet there are others that don't. And we believe them. I believe Federer is a really genuine guy. I believe Oprah when she is trying to better the lives of, especially young women in Africa. I wonder what it is about that. We believe Bill and Melinda Gates in terms of their foundation. We know they're trying to do good things. But sometimes celebrities, as you say, grandstand and we just don't buy it.
No, because it looks like they're almost trying too hard. Mm. So when they get up at these Oscar events and whatever and they start talking about what they really believe in and stuff, you know, go, if you've really got something to say, go do something about it.
Yeah.
Go and campaign, go, like, don't just stand there and speak. I think that's where
Maybe that's what it is.
Because, like, Oprah's gone and she's opened the school here for women. Mm. It hasn't been sort of stress-free and problem-free.
No, it's been a lot.
But she's persevered and you can see when she's with those kids, like, the genuine love and support. support that she gives them. And I mean, even, I mean, I know we shouldn't even go there, but Angelina Jolie. So her and Brad Pitt started a foundation in 2016 that also was looking at refugees and bettering lives all over the globe. I mean, they did even adopt half of them. okay, maybe not half, like a few children, maybe like four or five.
Ooh, yes. And in fact, it reminds me. So I need to update. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You need to update.
I do. I do.
Oh, and Angie.
No, I need to update on the Chai baby.
Oh,
you know, there's the Chai baby that the mayors are looking after for us here on Chai. I just wanted to, for all of those who aren't following that story, last weekend, friends, Daryl and Natalie Mayers were walking home, from a Friday night dinner, found a 1 day old baby that they managed to thankfully save. The baby's been in the hospital since then. They've been there getting very involved in their lives. And I know that a lot of you keep messaging and asking us for updates. The update is that she's doing well. She's still in the hospital because she was a prem baby, and they are waiting for her to get to pick up weight first before they release her. And he says today at 8 a.m., someone from Child Welfare is coming to interview us at the home. This is according to Daryl Mayers. We're hoping to be recognized as a place of safety. Then she can come and live with us at least until she's fostered or adopted.
Wow.
If that little girl goes to live there, which please God she will, she is never leaving, and I hope she doesn't. I hope she only leaves on her wedding day. Time is 8:30. Time is 8:35, about to go 8:36. Sorry to Tina, it's hard to go back to talk about tennis, but all of it is about doing good, and that's the point, is that people are so stressed, especially in South Africa, in Africa, that these events are there to are there just to raise awareness and of course raise money and try and save help lives. Colin says, when Trevor missed a shot, he said, "If I had another racket, I'd break this one."
He did.
What a brilliant line.
Oh, it was brilliant. But the way he said it was like, it was so emotive. Like, you know, I would break this one. And he was like, was pretending to like almost so, you know, like, I mean, there have been some players, not mentioning McEnroe, who have been known to throw and break some rackets when they weren't happy with a call or two.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. I mean, but absolutely, absolutely incredible. Yeah.
And also, you know what? There's a feel-good factor with attending an event like that. I think where people who really, first of all, who go to the event, people who watch the event, people who read the papers and the stories about the event, feel that there are, so even though there's negativity around us, even though people couldn't even get on flights because there were no SAA, they weren't taking SAA flights. So, I mean, that even in itself, I mean, was crazy. There was load shedding going on at the same time. You've got all these factors going on in the country, yet they managed to pull off an event, a global event, breaking world records on amount of money raised and people attending. So you have to always know that even though things look dark, even though things are grey, that there are people who are going out and they're doing good deeds.
Which I think is incredible.
And it is a feel-good factor. And you need to do it. I mean, even, I know you were talking about John Legend the other day. What was he, the sexiest man alive?
Oh, please, he's not the sexiest anything alive. Even Zanatti agrees with me.
You don't find any...
No, you know.
Listen, he's very smooth. He's very smooth.
He's not even smooth. He's slippery. But he sings well.
His wife disagrees. I mean, she's also...
You know what? Can I tell you something? Woman. She doesn't disagree.
She doesn't.
She does not like him.
What do you...
I'll tell you that now.
Were you watching Body Language again?
Yes, I was.
Really?
And I will put money on it that not
about him
only...
All the time.
Because this is...
She never mentioned him being sexy, though. That's the thing.
Like, and she was visibly shocked when she was told that he was. I'm telling you that this is not a conventional marriage.
Listen, I don't think any of those Hollywood marriages are conventional. I think convention is something they use to attend. I don't think it's anything they
I tell you, I don't think she likes him one bit, Mrs. what's her name, Mrs. Legend. And she does like the publicity around it.
You are funny.
That's my view on it. And it will, it might not be, in 2020, but ultimately these things,
it's a Mr. and Mrs.
these
Smith
things
story.
Play out. There's no question. Well, it's like that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's Angie, Brad.
No question about it. In fact, yeah, exactly.
So I was, I have to tell you that all I was actually, before you were getting onto your hater stage, I was just going to tell you that John Legend actually even established his own campaign. So, which is called the Show Me campaign, and it aims to provide equal education to every child. And recently he actually paid off a $5,000 student lunch debt for 99 different schools in Seattle.
What?
Yes, see, that's who voted for
him. That is unbelievable.
And he's not the only one. I mean, there are tons of celebs. I mean, even J.K. Rowling has given away fortunes of her money, that even managed to take her off the fortune list because she gave away so much money.
She's awesome. She is awesome. But again, another genuine person, another genuine celebrity. I think we do have those around.
No, we do. But they give quiet.
It's the loud ones that are vegans.
Yes, it's those are the particular ones. You
and
need
the
to
ones
watch
that are bully people into having. Of course he is. Of course he is, because he's trying so desperately to just fit in, because every Hollywood star has dumped him ultimately.
Ultimately, yes. It's hard for him.
Yeah, it is hard for him. I wonder why.
No matter how optimized.
So not you'd take him in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
Of course.
Listen, I don't think there are many who wouldn't.
And yet, there he is alone at 57.
What's alone? Who says he's really alone?
Wow. Time is 8:40. Dina Diamond, thank you as always. Always so interesting to chat to you. It's really, really incredible to hear about what people are doing. Linda says, Howard, the song I Will Leave the Light On is about reaching out to people in distress, despair, and hopelessness. It is a powerful message that we should share. And Kate wants to know, who is the rabbi who passed away from Mahasha? So sad. Time is 8:41. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM.